بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to the chapter that deals with the prayer of funeral, the prayer that we offer when a dead person dies before burying him. And when it comes to the funeral rites, there are a lot and a lot of rules governing it. The first of which we must know is what to do when a person is on his dying bed. So it is essential that we visit a person who's dying, because this is part of the rights of a Muslim over a Muslim. Whenever someone is ill, it's his rights upon you to visit him. And by visiting him, we have to encourage him and give him hope. Some of the brothers, may Allah forgive them, when they visit a person who is sick, when they see him, they say, "Ya Latif, what is this? Man, you look so bad. Wow, this is dangerous, man. You look very, very ill, as if you're gonna die." So instead of giving him hope, they help in escalating his demise. And this is not permissible. You should give them hope. You should say, "MashaAllah, you look better." You should supplicate for them. You should give them ruqya. And also, if a person is on his dying bed, he's dying, he does not have the flu. Sometimes you visit someone who has a fever and he has the flu, and you say "La ilaha illallah." When you tell him this, this is as if he's going to die. No. But those who are actually dying on their dying bed, it is recommended that we teach them how to say "La ilaha illallah." Why? Because the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, if a person's life ended by saying "La ilaha illallah" and it was the last thing he says, he will enter paradise no matter what happened before that. But ordering them to say "La ilaha illallah" depends from one person to the other. If a dying person, I tell him "say La ilaha illallah" and he says "La ilaha illallah," I should not come to him every 5 minutes, "say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah." After a while, he would become fed up, especially in the emotional state he's in. And maybe he says, "Go away, I don't want to say it." Scholars say it has to be the last thing he says. So if I tell him, "say La ilaha illallah," and he says "La ilaha illallah," and then he does not say anything, I should not repeat it for an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. When he says, "Give me a glass of water," I give him the glass of water and tell him, "say La ilaha illallah," so that it would become the last thing he speaks. And when he dies, what is the first thing I should do? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to Abu Salama to visit him on his dying bed, once he died, he closed his eyes. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing that follows the soul once it's departing is the eyesight. And that is why the most of people who die, they die like this. They watch their soul come out of their bodies. So the sunnah is to close his eyes. And if his mouth is open, the sunnah is to close his mouth as well. And that is why some schools of thought say that you tie or a bandage so that you keep the mouth closed, so that nothing would enter the mouth while the deceased is being prepared for washing. And among the things that people do is that they must not supplicate against themselves or say bad things. Because once a person dies, there are angels around him saying "Ameen." Whatever you say, they say "Ameen." So if a wife comes and starts slapping her face and say, "I wish it was me, not you," angels say "Ameen." "May Allah kill me, Ameen." So the Prophet says, "Assalam, supplicate and do not supplicate with anything but good." because the angels are saying Ameen. What do we supplicate? Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, pay my debts. Oh Allah, expand his grave, etc. Among the things that we should do with the dead body after his death is we should try to soften his joints. So we come to his arms and we bend them so that when we wash him, it is flexible. His knees as well, gently, not in a harsh way. And to cover him entirely, to cover his body with a blanket or with something that would protect him. There is nothing wrong in uncovering the dead body and kissing. So if your father or your brother, like Abu Bakr, came to the Prophet ﷺ after he died and he unveiled his face and kissed him between the eyes and said to him, O Prophet of Allah, how good you are, dead and alive. And then it is recommended that we wash the body, and washing the body is something that is mandatory. We will come to mention how to wash the body later on, inshallah, because there are a number of hadiths regarding this issue. We wash the body in a certain way, but this certain way is only a formality. We have the instruction from the Prophet ﷺ to wash the body with water and lotus 3 times or more. The minimum is 3 times. We can wash him 5, 7. It has to be witr. It has to be odd numbers. And then in the last time we wash him with it, whether it's the 3rd or the 5th or the 7th, we should put some kafur, which is a form of perfume that would give the body nice smell, and at the same time it would help to repel any insects, and it would make it tougher for handling. Then we take the body and we shroud it in 3 shrouds. We wrap it in 3 shrouds. We do it in a certain way. But if you don't have the certain way, any shrouding would do. The minimum is 1. 1 is enough. But the sunnah is to do 3. And after that, we take the body and we pray the funeral prayer, as we will come to know, inshallah. Then we bury the body in a grave, lying on its right side, facing the Qibla. All the graves of Muslims are like this. So if this is the Qibla, the grave is here. And the man is laid on his right side, so the head is on the right side. He's entered from the grave like this, from the feet of the grave. This is the head of the grave, and this is the foot of the grave. So we insert the body from the feet of the grave, and then we put him on his right-hand side, facing the Qibla, and we bury him. Do we uncover his face or untie his knots? Some scholars say, yes, we untie the knots, but we never uncover the face. We make him shrouded and wrapped in his shrouds and leave him. We bury him, end of story. This usually takes 2 to 3 hours, maximum 4 hours, which shows you that whenever Islam realizes that Muslims need something urgently and frequently, it's always easy. And likewise in death, death happens to everyone. It is a calamity. It is, as described in the Quran, musibah. It is a calamity, but it happens to everyone. So you have to do it. You have to get it over with in accordance with the Sharia, and alhamdulillah. We have a number of hadiths governing this issue. So we begin with hadith number 155. Brother, please read it for us.
Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us about the news of the death of a Najashi on the day that he died. He went out with us to the Musalla, and we aligned in rows, and he said 4 takbirs, Bukhari.
In this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed his companions of the death of an Najashi, the great ruler of Abyssinia, who hosted the companions when they offered or did their first migration to Abyssinia. And the people of Mecca used to abuse them, and that is why they complained to the Prophet ﷺ, they're unable to worship Allah. So the Prophet said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go to Abyssinia because there is a king that is fair and just, and he would not allow any injustice to fall upon you. And this shows us that the Prophet ﷺ had political knowledge. He was not only an imam or a preacher, he knew about the countries around him and what was happening. And that is why he advises people to go to Abyssinia. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.